Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On Tuesdays, we catch up with WNYC planning editor Kate Hines to hear about what the newsroom's working on and for some news analysis. And today, some information about tiny owl season. Here's Kate Hines. Hi, Kate. We call it Kate It's a Plan. Hi, Kate.
Allison, I would like to do this segment with a talk box from now on.
You know what? You know I'm up for it. Don't say it out loud too many times. It could happen. All right, let's talk about schools. Okay, schools. Yesterday, Chancellor Carranza made an announcement about the options to sign students up for in-person learning. It caused quite a bit of stir, a little anxiety to New York City parents. What is going on?
So, you know, in New York City schools, they do a combination of remote only, or what's called blended, in-person and remote instruction. And after saying for months and months that families who were doing remote only would be able to opt into blended learning quarterly throughout the school year, the city said yesterday, there's actually only going to be one more chance to choose in-person learning this academic year, which threw a lot of parents.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, people approached the school year by saying, we'll give it a shot. Well, you know, maybe we'll do remote only. And then, you know, maybe after the new year or something, we'll see how it goes and opt in. But no, you know, now your chance to choose the blended learning goes for 2 weeks starting next week. So you have from November 2nd to the 15th to opt in. So that's a pretty big change.
That's a huge change.
It's a huge change.
Considering our next subject, uptick in COVID cases.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have to imagine that was factoring into people's decisions. And here in New York, yesterday, New York passed the threshold of 550 cases. Is that right?
Right. And it's, you know, important to note that that was a metric that the city set in August. And both the city and the state have all of these benchmarks that have, you know, that get met. And when they get met, certain things get triggered in theory. But we now have topped that 550 new cases mark for two straight days. But the mayor says it's not going to trigger any new restrictions. You know, we're just going to closely monitor the percentage of tests that come back positive. And in New York City, the positivity rate has been hovering around 1.3, 1.4, 1.5%. You know, overall, there hasn't been a huge uptick minus the hot spots. And some of the hotspots in New York City seem to be resolving, especially the ones that have been in Queens. So, you know, the mayor says there's still a lot of reason for optimism around COVID, but that, you know, now is the time to remain vigilant. I should say that the mayor said in his press conference today that he is recommending that no one travel for Thanksgiving this year, which he recognizes will be difficult, but that it is important in part to keep the rates low here in New York. And to remember that, you know, most states in the United States, if you travel outside of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, you are required to quarantine upon returning home here. So,
well, I'm curious, though, because we're seeing in Europe new curfews, new lockdowns, and they keep talking about various waves. Is New York anticipating, are scientists and doctor folks anticipating a second wave? Is this a third wave? Is this a wavelet? I'm not sure how to categorize it.
I don't think I'm sure how to categorize it either. And we have a lot of internal conversation about, is this a second wave? Is this a third wave? I really can't speak to that. What I can say is that here in this area, knowing that we're entering the cold, dry season of winter, there's a lot of reason for concern. You know, that we saw cases drop throughout the summer, and once the weather changed a little bit, boom, cases started to go up again. So we're being very guarded, I think, and very cautious here. Newark, you know, in New Jersey, there are a number of hot spots. In fact, New Jersey is, you know, they basically believe they're in community spread right now, that the transmission is widespread. Newark has started imposing stricter restrictions upon that city because they are in, you know, quite a bit of an outbreak there. So all non-essential businesses have to close by 8 p.m. There are new restrictions on gyms. So the city is, you know, trying to get a handle on that.
And I appreciate, I love that about our newsroom, just making sure the language is right, because you just don't want to keep repeating the same thing that other outlets and other places are repeating if it's not correct. So.
Right. And I'm not sure, like, I don't, you know, because I'm not sure what second wave means.
Exactly.
You know, is it a roller coaster? I think the point is to be vigilant and wear a mask. You know, there's so much we didn't know at the outset of this and that we know now, and there's so much more yet to be learned, that I think, you know, just wear a mask and don't congregate indoors. And that's going to be harder and harder as the weather gets colder. So
I'm speaking with Kate Hines, WNYC's planning editor. Okay, I want to know what you folks are planning in terms of your coverage of early voting, because this weekend it was the big bang. Everybody came out. The lines were really long. There was a drum line out at Barclays. People were bringing sandwiches. So have the lines eased? Was it just that first weekend that everybody ran to vote because they've been waiting for so long?
No.
No,
in fact, yesterday had higher turnout in New York City than Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
Which has really been kind of amazing and certainly changed my personal vote game plan. And then I was watching on Twitter this last hour, and the interesting thing is the times change, right? So on the weekend, it was open from, I think, 10 to 4. Yesterday was 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Today is 12 to 8. So, you know, I went on Twitter and started scouring, and around 11 a.m., I started seeing epic reports of lines, you know, six blocks here. I'm 300th in person here at my polling site in Fort Washington. In Park Slope, the line is X blocks long. So there are still big lines for early voting. Now, the Board of Elections has said, you know, they're going to try to speed the process up, you know, perhaps by deploying more equipment or staff to different polling sites, because there does seem to be an imbalance in the places that have lines and places that don't. I can tell you from my family's experience, my daughter and my husband waited online 4.5 hours Sunday on the Upper West Side to vote. And my mom, who votes like 40 blocks south, waited 2.5 hours yesterday. So in other places, people are saying, I was in and out in 7 minutes. So it's kind of all over the map. Today on All Things Considered, Bridget Bergen is going to explain why that might be. I can't even hint at it because she's still doing the reporting, but it's going to be very, very interesting.
All right, I feel like I need the breaking news ticker sound, because you have owl news for us.
Owl news, owl the time, Allison. That's my motto.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I might let you back on next week after that. Maybe.
Okay, so this is the time of year when birders start paying very, very close attention to the winter migrants that come through and hang out in our area. And some of them don't make it this far south. And I am, of course, referring specifically to owls. And there are early signs that more saw-wet owls than usual. And saw-wet owls are these. I urge everyone to run to a computer and Google them and try not to scream, because they are so adorable. They're these really small, big-eyed owls that just sort of look surprised. So there are early signs that saw-wet owls will be heading our way in larger numbers than normal. This happened, I think, a couple of years ago.
Googled it.
Could you die? I mean, if you really want to Google pygmy owl, if you want to scream, but they're not in our area, so you'll have to content yourself with the saw-wet. And I did, you know, I've seen them. They're in, I haven't seen one yet this year, but they do come to Central Park, for example, and they tend to like lower shrubs. So they're a little easier to see, even though they're very, very tiny. And so people are very hopeful for that. I should say the barred owl that's been hanging out in Central Park for like 2 or 3 weeks is still here. And there's also chatter of something called an evening grosbeak eruption. These are finches who usually winter north of here. They're very cool. You should also Google them. It's spelled G-R-O-S-B-E-A-K. And the evening grosbeaks have like a yellow eyebrow on the male face, which is really very cool looking. And they have been spotted in our area, which is also somewhat unusual because usually they hang out a little further north. So very exciting.
Before I let you go, Halloween is this Saturday. What is the city's approach? Do we know?
Don't trick or treat indoors. Stay outside, go door to door, which is a blow to families who live in apartment buildings. If your building is anything like mine, you know, you used to have a sign-up sheet in the lobby and kids would go door to door and everyone would decorate the hallway. And that's just not happening, at least in my building this year and in many other buildings. So the plan is to trick or treat outside for many families. And the city says, wear a real mask, not a costume mask, that little, you know. Your Donald Trump or Joe Biden face mask will not protect you from COVID. You need like something that is cotton or cloth or paper. And, you know, it's going to be a different kind of Halloween this year.
All right. Well, if you are sort of bummed about Halloween, I have something that I want to tell people they can come celebrate with us. You know, we have our book club, our Get Lit book club, Kate.
I do indeed.
And tomorrow night's Get Lit is going to be very exciting because we actually have a little interactive section. You know, we have commissioned Brooklyn bartender and co-owner of Leyenda. Her name is Ivy Mix, for real. To create,
I know where this is going.
To create a custom cocktail inspired by our October book club selection, Luster by Raven Leilani. Okay, so things to know. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. is when the event is. The cocktail recipe is up on our Instagram page. You can head to All of It WNYC to check it out. But here's what you're going to need. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Rye whiskey.
Ooh.
Cognac. Campari. Simple syrup and some limes.
What you really need is a sick day on Thursday. If you have a couple of those, you're going to be hungover.
Ivy's going to show us how to make the cocktail during the event at tomorrow evening. But if you want to get a head start, maybe you want to practice tonight. Okay, everybody, send us a picture if you decide to go through with this. We want to see it. Tag us with the hashtag #GetLitWithAllOfIt. Be sure to join our October Get Lit event tomorrow night, 7 p.m. I'll join by Ivy. Ivy will be there. Raven Leilani will be there. And musical guest Jensen McRae. And head to WNYC.org, Get Lit, to save the link for the live stream. And happy mixing. And good day to you, Kate Hines. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Allison.